June 16th, 2026, you're listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Today we're finishing up the book of Romans. We're in chapter 16, looking at verses 21 through 27, with part two of yesterday's message titled, A Great Doxology.
And so in your life, the way forward is to break out in praise, recognizing He's done wonderful things for you. This is Romans. This is the book of Romans. It has made known the gospel, and you have heard tonight, it is His desire, it is His will to preserve you and establish you until the end in His glorious gospel.
And now here's today's message from Pastor Chris.
And in those days, churches met in homes. They didn't have buildings like this that they came to. So you could imagine, Gaius says, I would love to greet them. Paul speaks, Tertius writes, Gaius, my host and the host of the whole church here in Corinth, greet you. Archaeologists have actually discovered an inscription in Corinth with a man named Erastius's name imprinted there. It was next to a first century public sidewalk. So Erastius is mentioned here. In return for his aedileship, laid this pavement, this is the inscription, laid this pavement at his own expense. You can still find it. He was the treasurer at Corinth. He was a well-known treasurer in the city of Corinth. Very successful man. He's a believer. It's pinned. Erastus, the treasurer of the city, greets you, and Cortus, a brother, greets you. And I just think this is just beautiful. You feel the affection and the love of the body of Christ as you look at this, and you feel the emotion of it. Everything is now moving forward. They are gathering here in Corinth for the last time. Everyone is about to go their way. Would they ever see Paul again? Tertius writes the last word of this epistle. It's then handed to Phoebe, remember the servant, who is going to bring this to Rome, and a major separation happens. So this little epistle is handed to this woman, Phoebe, who is mentioned in 16:1. She is going to travel a long distance to bring this epistle to Rome, and today it's in our hands. It's amazing. It's a real downer when something good ends and you've got to move on. You know the feeling. You know the feeling when a loved one dies and you're forced to move on. A good thing has ended. And now what? It's the pain of saying goodbye. Change. Endings, goodbyes. None of that's easy. There is something wrong with it all. That is part of the fallen world we're in. That is part of the challenge of not living in the new heavens and new earth together yet. All of us, the whole body of Christ. That we as the body of Christ are not all physically present and communing with one another. Now, Paul had never been to Rome. Paul had never seen this church, but they were united in the common faith. Paul had a love for this church. So the whole scene, uncertainty, future. Where's this all going to go? What's going to happen? All he knows is suffering and chains and affliction await for him. And now Paul, at the end of this epistle, stops speaking. Under the inspiration of the Spirit, it is brought to a close. I often think of that one song in the old, maybe it's in our Psalter. What's the goodbye song that no one ever wants to sing? Because it's so painful. Until we meet again. Until we meet again. It's quite a moment when you have to give last words, and those are what stick. So that's my point. It's quite a moment when you have to give last words. What do you say? What sticks? What do you say to someone when you're saying goodbye? Well, you'll notice here that in verse 20, We thought he had said enough. We thought he had ended it. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. That would have been a great ending. But he doesn't end it. I'm going to make the assumption that should have ended with that benediction. It's a rare occurrence where we don't get an epistle that ends with a benediction. He doesn't end the epistle with a benediction. So my assumption is there's a lot of tears at this point. There's a lot of uncertainty at this point. He wrote this on his third missionary journey, last time here in Corinth. And Paul from here we'll go to Ephesus for a short stay. But do you remember what happened when he left Ephesus? He said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. And when he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. Then they all wept freely and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spoke, that they would see his face no more. And they accompanied him to the ship. I'll never see him again in this life. Painful. So here's my assumption with Rome in this epistle. He gives the benediction and says, no, I can't stop. This is like Pastor Gordon trying to land a sermon. Okay? This is the good old analogy. It's like landing the plane. Can't land the plane. If you've ever felt that, that's okay. It's hard to land a plane sometimes. It's really hard when you have a lot you want to say. And this is the beauty of this, of what Paul's doing here. How do I stop this kind of epistle with a simple benediction, as glorious as it is? A benediction, boys and girls, is a call upon the Lord to bless his people. So when the minister stands up, really important, we've lost this today. This is what we see in the church, we see in the scriptures they did, that benedictions, the ministers would raise hands and they would pronounce a blessing. And that's why it's not a prayer. It's a time to lift up your heads and receive the blessing from the Lord. The minister is calling upon the Lord to bless you. How wonderful. You're not just dismissed. You're blessed. You're blessed. Dr. Godfrey would say, now you need to do it like this, and you need to, I put them all up. I don't know if that's right. You're blessed. Well, he's favoring you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. He's blessing you. He's sending you out into the week with blessing. That's how these epistles ended. Well, here Paul does that. He doesn't neglect that in verse 20. You'll notice that there. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. This is certainly to be the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. We heard that tonight. But to close this epistle, he breaks into a doxology. Now, what is the right time for a doxology? What is a doxology? Doxology is an expression of praise to God, often like a short song, to exalt him in his goodness and his majesty and his strength and his ability and his power. To give him glory, to break out in praise for who he is and what he's done. He ends the book this way. So much uncertainty, so much hardship, so much difficulty in life, and then you got to come to endings, and then you got to come to goodbyes, and then you got to come to change, and none of us are good at it. Paul would often speak of his burdens. You know, if you just listen to this, kind of his perspective orienting, from 2 Corinthians 11, where he talks about his sufferings. 5 times I received from the hand of the Jews 40 lashes minus 1. He was whipped. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea, on frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, in danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false prophets, in toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night, in hunger and in thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure, and apart from other things, this was his big burden. There's the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches. I'm so concerned for the churches. I am so concerned for the churches. So what does Paul do? All this in the background, all the future, all the uncertainty. Where are you? What do you do at moments like this? He breaks into doxology. Paul delights himself in God, saying goodbye. For what? For what? Well, verse 25. It's so beautiful at the end of Romans. Now to him who is able to strengthen you. Notice he didn't say, to you who are able to strengthen yourselves. It's been the theme today, right? To him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages but has now been disclosed and through the prophetic writings has been made known to all the nations. Wow, this is wonderful. To him who is able to strengthen you, you should let that set in. So accumulation of things, leaves for Jerusalem. Spirit says he's going to suffer. He's leaving the church in Corinth for the last time. He's ending his letter to Rome. I think it all wells up. Talk about stress. Talk about anxiety. Talk about tears. We can learn so much from the end of books. What are you anxious about? What is your concern about the future? What is the uncertainty of it all? Here's your answer. Remember Philippians 4? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Make your requests known to God, and the peace of God promise that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The pathway to have peace in times of anxiety, he says, is prayer and praise and thank God. Thank God. What did he want to impress upon you? Just what I've been trying to emphasize today. I didn't put this together in my own wisdom. Lord's Day 52, you don't have the power for a moment to keep yourself. What's my frustration? There are times when stress and concern and worry of everything overtakes. What's the path forward? And this is a real solution. Think about what you've learned the last 2 years in Romans. 2 years and 1 month. February 25th, 2024, we started this. Think of all that's been said to you in this book. You have a righteousness provided for you by faith. You are justified by God as a free gift by faith alone. You have redemption through Christ, through his blood. This righteousness has been reckoned to you who believe. Having been justified by faith, you have peace with God. Think about that. He's a father to you because of Christ, his son, God the Father. If you died with him, you'll live with him. The gift of God is eternal life, gift, free gift, eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. You're not under law. anymore for condemnation. There is no condemnation for you in Christ. You have a life under grace. You now walk in the newness of the Spirit, Romans 8. You are indwelt by the Spirit. He prays for you constantly. The whole golden chain, he predestined you, and whom he predestined, he called, and whom he called, he justified, and whom he called, he glorified, unbroken. He's going to finish the work, and he's sanctifying you. What a book. You want to talk about what keeps you? You want to talk about what keeps us in this life? Paul leaves them with this glorious doxology. Now to him who is able, who is literally powerful to keep you, to strengthen you, to uphold you. Jude said the same thing. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling. Now listen to this. Listen to Jude's emphasis. And to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. That's talking about judgment day. He is able to keep you and present you faultless on judgment day. He will make you stand. But Paul's not talking about judgment day here. Paul is saying, not just, he's talking about the present. Paul breaks into praise, and in light of all this difficulty of the future, all this not knowing the future, he says, God's able to keep you now. There is an ever-present power of God available to you. Okay, there it is again. There is an ever-present power of God made available to you. Where? Here's where the whole book ties together. He bookends it. What did this book begin with? This. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God for salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed, the righteousness that comes by faith. Now here we are, last doxology of the book. Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ. Now, what do you deduce from that? What do you take from that? What keeps you? It's the word of the gospel preached to you. And that's why preaching Jesus matters. Not antidotes for life, not all this other stuff. Preaching Jesus in power. Preaching the gospel in power. So it brings together this morning's message, doesn't it? A word, a gospel word ministry, and a sacrament ministry. These are the means. That's just what he says here. The gospel was committed to the apostles from Christ to be delivered to the ends of the earth. It was his gospel, the gospel of the power of God. And here it is. How does God strengthen you? How does God help you? How does God get you through the future? How are you going to go forward in light of what is ahead when you don't know what it is and it all looks dark? It's the preaching of Jesus. It's the preaching of the gospel. He says it. That's how he keeps you standing. Romans 10, faith comes by what? Hearing. And hearing by the message preached. Paul is glorying in God here. He knows God will continue to teach them and help them and refresh them in the gospel. And what is being impressed upon you tonight? He is able to establish you. He's able to establish you. According to the revelation of the mystery kept secret from since the world begun, but is now made manifest through the prophets, the prophetic scriptures, and made known to all the nations. There it is. What he's saying is in the preaching of the gospel, God has done something wonderful for you. He's unveiled something. Everything the Old Testament talked about, everything the Old Testament looked forward to, has been now made clear through the coming of Jesus, that you are all included in the family of God as Gentiles. Through the preaching of Jesus, you are his children. You are the plan. If you understand dispensationalism, you know why that's so important to say. You are the plan. He always intended for you to come in. And so, amidst all the hardships of life, what an encouragement tonight. God will keep you. God will uphold you in all the difficulties of life. God will strengthen you. God will help you through the preaching of Jesus, through the gospel that's made known. It is the power of God for salvation. And he's making it known today to all the nations. That's why we're still here. It's a glorious plan, and soon we're all going to be together. Soon there's no more of this. Soon there's no more separation. There's no more goodbyes. There's no more pains. There's no more hard futures. So Paul says, to God alone be glory. God alone wise be glory through Jesus Christ. He's bringing about the obedience of faith. People are coming in. He's saving. To the only wise God be glory forevermore through Jesus Christ. So that's how Paul ends this glorious epistle we've spent so much time in. He gives them a benediction. Unless there be any pain in ending this, he turns it into a doxology to remind them God himself is committed to strengthen you and to keep you through this all. He is absolutely committed to that. That's why we have this ministry. And so in your life, the way forward is to break out in praise, recognizing he's done wonderful things for you. This is Romans. This is the book of Romans. It has made known the gospel. And you have heard tonight, it is his desire, it is his will to preserve you and establish you until the end in his glorious gospel. That is true power for you. Let's pray. Gracious Lord, thank you for such news. Thank you for such help. Thank you for such encouragement. We pray, Lord, that in all of our uncertainties at times and difficulties of life, that we would stop in our anxieties and pray to you and praise you and acknowledge you and give glory to your name. You're worthy. And that we'd be thankful. It's evident, Lord, in what you've done for us. Surround our hearts and minds with peace and understanding, and give us confidence for the future, and give us great. Thank you for the hope that you've given to us, and thank you for again showing us tonight your great power to keep us. You alone are all wise. You alone are worthy. Hear our prayer tonight. To our God be the glory and honor and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
That's all the time we have for you today. We thank you for joining us here on Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Be sure to tune in next time to hear more from Pastor Chris. Thanks again. Until then, God bless.